you know, real estate is about people and it's not about properties. I was famous for walking back with a listing and my team saying, oh, what's that property and how many bedrooms has it got? And I'd say, I'm not too sure. But I could tell you what the vendor's kids' names were, how old they were, the dog, the story, the work that they both did. I could tell you everything about them. So I think it's super important that we are in the business of people. We all talk about numbers and KPIs and transactions, but just put yourself in their shoes for a moment and you'd be surprised they'll feel that and they'll more than likely list with you because you care about them rather than the commission.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Joining me on the podcast today is Will Ainsworth, who is no stranger to us here at Elite Agent. He's a hugely successful agent in his own right. And earlier this year, Will joined the team at Open Negotiation as Head of Growth and Training for Australia and New Zealand. Before that, he carved out an amazing reputation as the top-selling agent for McGrath Victoria, clocking up a 90% clearance rate and selling more than 100 properties a year. So welcome back to the podcast, Will Ainsworth.
Sam, what an intro. Thank you for having me again.
No pressure, but we've just done the numbers on our podcast listens for the last year, and you, my friend, are at number two.
Right. So I've really only got one spot.
That's it. And that was like Gavin Rubenstein. So, I mean,
it's all downhill from here.
No, brilliant job. And I do remember our last podcast fondly because I was in Geelong. That was my first trip down to Geelong and we were in a hotel in the middle of a conference and there were plates clattering around us. And so just goes to show you can create good content under any circumstances.
Absolutely. We relocated about four times throughout that whole interview. It was fun.
Yeah, I know, right? But you'd never know. So you've had a big year and a big career shift in that it saw you step away from your very successful position as principal of McGrath Geelong to become head of growth and training at Open Negotiation. So first of all, what prompted that shift?
It's a really hard one to answer succinctly, but there are a number of factors in. The first one was family. I mean, like a lot of people throughout that COVID time, we had a bit of time to sit back and actually catch a breath and smell the roses, as they say. And I spent a bit of time at home as I hadn't done for quite a while. And I think it dawned on me that my career was coming to an end without me knowing it. When I got to that point, it was pretty obvious that I was burnt out and I was done. But I guess mentally, being a real estate agent for almost my whole professional career, I didn't know any different. I didn't actually know there was anything else out there for me. So then when this Open Negotiation gig came along, it kind of organically grew because when COVID hit, I was just a user of it. I wasn't employed. I wasn't doing anything with them. And I got a lot of calls from agents around the country wanting to know how to use it just because they'd seen I'd used it. And I started to really enjoy helping other agents actually start using it and learn and implement. And then that, as I said, organically grew into the guys at Open kind of offering me a role and I decided to take it.
Well, I remember back to that podcast that we did and it was so interesting and I know why people have been listening to it again this year because in that podcast you explained how Open Negotiation was part of your toolkit and how it was helping you win listings and things like that. And I'm sure that was hugely helpful to people given the year that we've just been through. So what do you do? Like it's quite different what you do now from being an agent, but tell me about your average day. How does it work at the moment? What do you do?
Yeah, so if you look at my title, Head of Growth and Training, it's quite simply that. So I'm obviously helping grow the business as far as the number of agents that are learning to use the process of Open Negotiation. And I'm also training up agents from agents that have never heard of it all the way through to agents that are really experienced at it and helping them grow and learn as well. So it's really a hybrid of, as I said, growing the business on users, but also then training the users to become better and better not just open negotiation agents, but just agents in general. And that's what I truly have a passion for these days. It's almost like going from player to coach. I was a player and now I'm coaching, and I'm using the skills I had to help agents become better at their craft, and I love it.
So I'm guessing that you've had a pretty busy second 6 months, because I think you made the move back around July, and with the lockdown in Victoria and various different circumstances that we've seen around Australia, and lots of people moving to hybrid models now as well, which you were blazing a trail in a couple of years ago. What's the demand been like for open negotiation just in the last 6 months?
Yeah, and let's put aside all the tragedy around COVID for starters, but it was probably a bit of a blessing in disguise for the guys at Open. Naturally, a lot of things went online, even though it was growing in its own right. When COVID hit and a lot of agents that were running options couldn't run them on site, they were the ones that very quickly wanted to implement that, because they understand the auction process and they could essentially do an auction and do it online. So that were probably the first adopters during COVID. And then most agents around the country started to work out that they can actually sell properties online, and not taking away from the fact that they're still doing their craft, negotiating buyers and running open homes if that's possible and all that sort of stuff. So it was the auction agents initially, and then the private sale, private treaty agents kind of quickly picked up. I think running so many Zoom sessions, they realised that they could do a lot from the comfort of their own home or their office.
Open negotiation, I mean, we've seen you guys go from strength to strength too, and we had Tim Heaviside on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned that 2020 has delivered 5 ways to sell a property: private treaty, expression of interest, live auction, online auction, and open negotiation. So you've got your own category there now.
Yeah, well, we are. It's funny you say that, because we are literally another method of sale, and that's probably possibly a bit of a misdemeanor. A lot of agents think that we're a bolt-on to a private treaty or an auction. We're actually a third method of sale. So albeit we're a hybrid of the traditional methods, we've essentially taken the best of those traditional methods and put them into this online process called open negotiation.
It's been amazing to watch. And I guess for the people that, well, there's probably one or two that haven't listened to your previous podcast, not too many though, just give us a quick outline of what open negotiation does and the benefit of using it.
Yeah, as I just mentioned, it was created to take away the inefficiencies or problems of the traditional methods that we see today. So for instance, private sale or private treaty, the great part of that is you can have conditional buyers. So it opens it up to more of the buyer pool. The problem with that is it's called private for a reason, and you can't disclose offers, and buyers often miss out on a property they would love to buy just based on the fact that the agent can't tell on the price. And so they quite often miss out and they would have paid more for it. So the buyer's annoyed, the vendor has missed out on having more money in their pocket. So that's the issue with private sale and treaty. Auction's fantastic because there's a deadline which makes everyone comes to a head and finalises the sale. It's transparent, so all buyers know who they're competing against. But in a lot of states, you've got to have your finance completely fully approved, which we all know is not possible with a lot of the buying community. So you're essentially discounting or not allowing certain buyer pools to be able to compete for properties. So open negotiation takes the best of both those methods of sale, and the property gets sold online. So essentially it's an auction, so it falls under auction legislation. And buyers put in bids from day one, and they can see exactly what the current bid is, and they can see how many bidders there are. And all buyers are pre-contracted. So when you are bidding against another buyer, you know that that buyer has already pre-signed a contract, so they're a real-life, genuine buyer.
Yeah, so that brings an elevated level of transparency, I guess, for the agent. And I can remember you talking about this too way back when, is that there's no smoke and mirrors around what's been offered. You can actually see what's been offered.
Yeah, and whether this is right or wrong to say on this platform, it's not for every agent. Unfortunately, we know that real estate agents don't have the best credibility as an industry. So there's a lot of agents that have learned the craft of, you know, deception and lying and making up fictitious offers and buyers when they don't exist. You can't do that with open negotiation. It is what it is. And that's one of the reasons I loved it so much, was I didn't have to make anything up. It just was what it was. And the buyers and the vendors and the vendor and the agent can all see exactly the same thing, and it's on an even playing field. So that was one of the main catalysts to why I started using it.
So let's change tack a little bit here, because now you've hung up your personal gavel and you've opened your little black book of hot tips. So we're hoping that once again you'll share some of those with us today. And I know that there's a new download that Open have got, which is about 10 secrets to selling 100 properties a year. And that's a lot. Like 100 properties a year is a lot. And I mean, look, everyone's thinking about setting goals, and some people have had great years and some people not so great years. But if your goal was to sell 100 properties a year, where should we start?
It's a really long answer. I'll try and keep it brief. You don't have to want to sell 100 properties a year. I guess most agents want to sell more next year than they did this year. That's probably the best way to go into this answer. And if that's the case, my mentality is always it's a marathon, not a sprint. So it's just small incremental changes over time rather than just completely unraveling and uprooting your whole business to try and double it. Yes, that might be possible for some, but let's just talk law of averages. I think most agents need to look at it and say, why don't I improve by 10 or 20% rather than 50? And how you do that is simply by just, as I said, small incremental changes and having better time management, saying no to more things than you say yes to. As agents, we're very quick to say, yeah, I'll do that, and yeah, I'll do that. And before you know it, their week has been designed by other people, not themselves. So it's about taking control of your day and time. And as we all know, certain prospecting blocks, that's the first thing most agents are happy to remove from their calendar if something more interesting comes along. Complete opposite of what you should be doing.
So really that speaks to time management if you're an agent. Actually, we talked about this recently on the Better Agents podcast when you were in control of asking the questions. Well, let's talk about time management for agents, because we had that conversation a couple of weeks ago, and we'll leave a link to that in the show notes as well. But you're going to be pretty busy if you're doing that many appraisals. And like you just said, the things that come out of an agent's calendar the quickest are things like prospecting call sessions. Let's just say I wanted to improve my numbers, or even think back to the time that you were an agent. How long did you spend in prospecting sessions and on the phone when you were first starting out?
When I was first starting out, I had two 45-minute call blocks each day. So I always worked in chunks of 45 minutes and 15 minutes in between for freshening up or emails or whatever it might be. So 2:45, what's that? It worked out to be an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, yep.
Yep. And when I say an hour and a half, I'm talking about no social media, no emails, nothing, a piece of paper in front of me and a phone. That is it. So some agents say, I did an hour and a half of prospecting, but as you know, as well as I do, someone comes in and says, do you want to go for a coffee? Yeah, let's do that. let's open up some emails. Let's do that. Geez, I've been productive. I made three calls in an hour and a half. So I'm talking about serious prospecting.
And so what were the sort of calls, just in case we're talking now to somebody who's just entered the industry, what sort of calls would you be making during those 45-minute sessions?
So if you're new to the industry, the beauty is your office is not. So there is a wealth of data within every office that's what we call orphan data that no one owns anymore or uses. And buyers are the best place to start, because every buyer will have bought something, or most buyers will have bought something and now own a piece of real estate in the area that you want to sell. So it's about trying to build a database of people that live within the community of where you want to sell. So I would go back and call old OFI lists and speak to all the people 6 months, 12 months, 18 months ago, and try and gather their home address, which is quite easy to do, put them on a trail and contact them for the rest of their life until they choose to sell. It's really quite easy. Now, that may not feel productive at the time because it's not about a listing tomorrow. It's about building a sustainable business over time, hence marathon, not a sprint.
You've been calling these people, you're doing your prospecting sessions. At what point do you realise it might be time for you to go and meet these people? And how would you go about it?
Yeah, so I actually think appraisals in person are a bit overrated. Yes, it's really important to meet someone and face-to-face, belly-to-belly, as they call it. But once you've done that once, I don't really see the need in going back for another hour to reappraise their property every year. That, to me, is not good for time management. So I actually do desktop appraisals more often than in-person appraisals. So if I've already appraised the property 5 years ago, I'll just call them and ask any adjustments they've made, any changes to the property, and I'll then say to them, I'm going to print off a report and send it to you and give you a call where I see the recent sales sitting. Now, that's saving time, but if they go, oh, Will, I was expecting 800, but you've told me 700. Well, clearly I haven't been back through the property, so maybe it is worth closer to 800. So it sort of gives you an opportunity to backtrack if you get the figure wrong, if you haven't physically been there for quite some time. But I think, once again, for time management, if I can call someone and appraise their property in 10 minutes rather than go and drop over for an hour and have a cup of tea with someone who's not selling for 10 years, I don't personally see the value in that time.
So it's not about just appraising every property or going to meet everyone that you speak to. It's about finding the ones that are in a place where they might be going to do something or that there's reason.
Yeah, and a good question for that is, look, Sam, I've got a whole pool of hot buyers at the moment. If I did have the right buyer for the property, would it be worth me giving you a call and to bring them through, or should I sell them something else?
Yeah, that is good dialogue. Well, especially at the moment too, with volumes being, well, volumes are up now, but there was a couple of months there where things were pretty low. And I imagine that things are probably lower than they might be because we're on the downhill run into Christmas. If you're an agent that was looking for listings even now, what sort of conversations would you be having?
Okay, so there's a lot more buyers than there are sellers right now. That's pretty obvious everywhere around the country. So to me, and bear with me for a moment, every buyer is actually a listing. So if you've got 100 buyers right now, there are 100 properties out there for those buyers. They're just not on the market, but they are for sale. Every property is for sale at the right price. It's important to, if I've got a buyer that there's no listing for them, you will have appraised a property in the past 12, 24, however many years ago that would suit them. So it's a matter of now matching the buyer to a vendor and calling that vendor and saying, look, I've got a buyer that missed out on a property around the corner for $1.1 million. Would you be in a position if I brought them through and they were happy to buy your home around the $1.1 million mark? And often, quite regularly, believe it or not, it's, yeah, I actually would. Okay, well, when can I bring them around? And you're crafting real estate rather than just being an order taker. You're actually matching people together. And even if they say no, isn't that a prospecting call? You've just touched base with someone. So to me, you actually can't lose by making that phone call. And they're like, oh, gee, that guy's proactive. Imagine when I give you my house to sell, or that girl's proactive. They're going to be doing the same with all their buyers. They're going to match people rather than put it on REA and Domain and cross their fingers and hope.
Yeah. So that's really thinking like a deal maker, thinking like a Harvey Specter as opposed to just listing stuff on a portal. It's like, who can I get some deals happening with?
Yeah. Or even further to that, ask the buyer to drive down their favourite streets in the area they want to buy and mark down all the addresses of the houses they like from the front and then go and door knock them or call them. And say, I've got a buyer and they've identified you and four other houses that they're really interested in. Would you be interested in me bringing them through?
That's a much easier conversation to have than, hey, do you want me to come and appraise your property?
Absolutely it is.
So last time we talked, you mentioned the importance of agents maintaining momentum with clients, and we've just been on a bit of our own real estate journey this year, so we've experienced it in different ways. What's a good tip for people who want to keep in touch with past clients?
I reckon the biggest mistake agents make is they get the contract signed and they pop it in the file and let go of the client. So the client, if you put it yourself in the client's shoes, is that they've probably communicated with that agent every second day, every third day, and as soon as the deal is done and the commission's payable, they drop the ball. That doesn't set a very good tone for that client that they actually mean something to them. For me, it's continuing on that relationship. You don't have to speak to them every second day, but from sale all the way through to settlement, just send SMSs saying, we're 60 days out from settlement. Here's a checklist of things that you should do if you're needing to pack your house. We're 30 days from settlement. Have you got everything connected? Have you got a removalist? Just little things to help that person move on. And then once the property's settled, like everyone does, a gift, whatever that may be. But then further to that, after settlement, I used to have a process where every 2 months I would send that client a voucher for something that would suit their property. So, for instance, on month two, they would get a Jim's Mowing voucher for an hour. Now, they didn't have to do it, but it was a voucher for an hour of mowing. Who doesn't want to do that, by the way? And I didn't pay for it. The Jim's Mowing guy did because it was building his business. So I called all of the people that I wanted to build relationships with, like a handyman, a window cleaner, a gardener, and I would say to them, it's going to be an hour out of your time to go over to that person's house, mow their lawns, as if they're not going to get you to continue mowing their lawns once you've done it once. So it cost me zero. It cost the Jim's Mowing guy a little bit of his time, and the client absolutely loved me. So then month four, they would get window cleaning for their house. And then month six, they would get a handyman or handywoman come over for an hour and fix some doorknobs or fix some cracks in the wall or whatever it might be. So for 12 months, my clients got every 2 months something like that, a voucher from me. And if you did that for every person you sold for, let's assume you sell 50 houses a year. Over time, that's 100 properties every 2 years, 153 years. In 5 years' time, you've got 250 past buyers who have had service like that. When they come to sell, who are they going to call? And not Ghostbusters.
It's actually really smart too, because your referral partners there, you're advertising their business in a way. And so every time one of their clients says, hey, who should I use to sell my house? Obviously they're going to go, well, this guy, Will Ainsworth, he's referred me however many clients over a period of time, and you're going to be the first name on everybody's shopping list.
And those people remember you, and they refer you to family and friends. So it's not just those 250 over 5 years. You multiply that by, and they call it 10 people that people refer you to. There's a lot of business out there that people, agents, I think, are just letting go because they're so quick to move on to the next sale.
It is interesting too. And, you know, you and I talked about that on the Better Agent podcast, that you've got to kind of be good across the whole timeline of the sale, not just one aspect, because being good at Facebook ads isn't going to help you with the after sale service kind of aspect of it.
No, absolutely not.
And something else that I was really impressed with too is your ability to find a unique point of difference. And this was something that I was talking about with Amy Callister just a couple of weeks ago. And she mentioned that, you know, it was really important to have a unique point of difference. And I remember yours very clearly, because Geelong's not traditionally an auction capital of Australia, but you had embraced the auction as a method of sale, and you appointed yourself the number one auction agent in the area, which I thought was really smart, because you should be number one at something in whatever area you're in. So what do you think is a good place for agents to look for their USP in their local area?
Yeah, you could either go by method of sale, and once again, we'll talk open negotiation for a moment. That became my USP once everyone started doing auctions. So that was the first thing, is open negotiation really was in my toolkit that other agents didn't have. But I think you've just got to look at yourself and your strengths and weaknesses and work out what your strengths are and work towards those. Everyone has them, and mine was that I was very structured and process-driven. So when I sat down at the kitchen table with the vendors, I would lay out the full plan of exactly what's going to occur from day one all the way through to the sale, and gave them complete confidence that I know my craft and this is what I'm going to be doing. So more often than not, when I got a listing and I asked them, you know, what was the reason why you engaged with me, they would say, because you knew what you were doing. We feel comfortable that you know what's going on. So that was my USP. So I guess what I'm getting at is everyone has different personalities. Some people are extroverts and flamboyant and really not good with people. I'm not necessarily that way inclined. If you're a type of person that's really outgoing, then use that to your strengths and go out and meet more people than you've ever met before, because that's what you enjoy doing. It doesn't have to be at the kitchen table. It's just about getting yourself in front of more people more often. And with new agents, they're full of energy. They don't know any different. They're not long in the tooth like some older, more mature agents. So use that to your strength. Tell the client when they say, oh, how long have you been in the industry? I've been in 6 months, but guess what? I've got one listing. And so when you're my second listing, you are going to have 50% of my time. The agent that you're looking at selling with down the road that's got 40 listings, you've got 5% of their time. So which one do you want? Do you want me, who's full of energy, and every sale that I make right now means the world to me, because I need you to be out there telling everyone how good I am, because I want more business, but you're going to have way more of my time.
I hope everyone's penciling down these dialogues that you're giving out, because some of them are amazing, and I'm sure that they're going to be very helpful to some people out there.
Thank you, but I think my maths was incorrect, so don't.
We won't hold you to the maths. There is a quote that we absorb the five people closest to us, or the five people that we spend most time with, which is why it's important to seek out people that you want to be around who can add to your career. Who is that for you in the real estate industry, and what did they teach you?
There's a number of them over my time. Mark McLeod from Grey White was the person that taught me the art of auctions. So he was a huge influence for me around the auction process. Then when we moved to McGrath, actually John McGrath was someone that he personally mentored me and gave me. He basically opened up my mind and to what's possible. He has a really good way, and he calls it mooring lines, of sort of opening up and removing any barriers of what you think's not achievable. So he was fantastic for me. My brother, if anyone needs to tell me the hard truths, it's him, which is fantastic. When my dad passed away, he became like a father figure for me. Matt LaHood from the agency. I've got along really well with him over the years, and he is just a really good, genuine human being, and he's one of those people in the industry who legitimately gives more than he takes. And I've got a lot of time for him, and I've learned a lot from him. And Dan Spencer, who was my real estate coach. I think if you're serious about real estate or any profession, you look at the best sports people in the world, every single one has a coach. And there's no coincidence. If you want to be at the peak of your powers, you need someone to guide you and mentor you along the way. For me, I paid money for someone to do that because I guess if you invest, you're going to take more note of it. That's what I did.
Well, even the fastest runner in the world has a coach, so that says something. We did a study a couple of years ago, which we actually found that people with coaches earn twice as much as people that didn't. Like, probably time we did that study again, actually. It might be fun.
Yeah, I would say so.
So 2020 has been a bit of a interesting ride for most of us, and it's had its ups and downs, but what will you take with you from this year and what will you happily leave behind?
I'm going to do my best to leave my ego behind. I think that's what drove me as a real estate agent, was my competitiveness and my ego. And that's been probably the biggest challenge for me getting out of the industry, is I've had to delete the real estate apps on my phone because I can't bear watching other agents take the listing that I probably would have got. So it's one of my strengths, but it was also a weakness as well. So I'm definitely leaving my ego behind as much as I can. And I'm taking with me, as cliche as it is, the small things in life and enjoying every moment for what it is and being as mindful as I can. The beauty of my new role is, as much as I work really hard, is I do have more time to spend outside of my job. So I get to smell the roses and meditate and go to CrossFit and do things for me and also spend time with my family. So as I said, I know as cliche as this is, but when people ask you what you do, if you say you're a real estate agent, that's what you're going to define your personality by and your whole life. For me, I'm a father and a husband. That's what I am. And then I happen to work to try and fulfill that destiny as well. So if you think that you're a real estate agent first, then that is what you'll define personality by.
It's actually about being the human first. And I think that's what a lot of people have looked for this year, not just in a real estate agent, but in people that they encounter in any moment of life.
Yeah, definitely.
So just for anyone listening, there is a link to Will's 10 Secrets to Selling 100 Properties a Year, which will be in both our show notes and in our action guide. Or you can grab that at hello.open.com.au/10-secrets. That was a big mouthful, wasn't it? But before we wrap up, so yeah, everybody, don't worry about writing that down. We'll just put it in the blog post for you. But before we go, are you going to be taking a break over Christmas?
Small one. But we've just got a new puppy, so we can't really go away anywhere. So once again, COVID has taught us all to appreciate what's in our own backyard, literally. And I love where I live, and our boys go down and do a bit of surfing and stuff on the coast, so we'll do some day trips. But short answer is no, we'll be hanging around.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people doing a similar thing. And we're delighted to have you back in Transform 2021. Transform 2020 was epic this year. It was one of my favourite things that we did this year. So what will you be talking about in Transform 2021?
Amongst open negotiation and running a very entertaining, not from me, but participants, auction night, I can't wait for that night. I think it's February the 20th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I'm going to be talking about how to build and leverage an EBU system. So how to build a team around you to leverage what you're best at, and that is typically listing and negotiating. That's something that's a real passion of mine. I built a team over my career, and yes, that team sort of changed and transitioned in and out, and I was the constant there, but building a team to me is one of the most critical things as a real estate agent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm guessing that's part of selling 100 properties a year as well, because you can't do that sort of volume without a bit of help, right?
No, I don't like that agents say, you know, I did this and I did that, because I couldn't have done it without a team. It's just not, it's not possible. And I genuinely loved having a team around me, because on the good days, the high fives, and on the bad days, they're telling you to put your head up or keep your head up. And I employed a team of experts in their field. And I won't touch on it all now, because that's what we talk about during Transform. But to me, it's about employing people who are specialists in certain components of real estate rather than employing a hybrid of you. It just doesn't make sense to me.
And that's really good advice too. We're so looking forward to hearing that, because the whole question of building an EBU at the moment, it's such an important one. And I think it's something that agents really struggle with, like things like when do I take my first person on? How much do I pay them? Am I going to be able to afford it? What happens if I don't? All of those things. So really looking forward to that session and really looking forward to Transform 2021. So, Will, it's been amazing asking you the questions again. and thank you so much for sharing so many tips and such great dialogue with us today. It's been amazing. In closing, do you have any last words of advice for agents closing the door on 2020 and moving into 2021?
Where do I start? For me, you know, real estate is about people and it's not about properties. I was famous for walking back with a listing and my team saying, oh, what's that property and how many bedrooms has it got? And I'd say, I'm not too sure. But I could tell you what the vendor's kids' names were, how old they were, the dog, the story, the work that they both did. I could tell you everything about them. So I think it's super important that we are in the business of people and just having some compassion and empathy for the human beings that you're selling for, because it's one of the biggest decisions in their lives. And we all talk about numbers and KPIs and transactions, but just put yourself in their shoes for a moment and you'd be surprised they'll feel that and they'll more than likely list with you because you care about them rather than the commission.
Yeah, so that's once again being a human first and an agent second. Incredible. Will Ainsworth, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.